Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey, friend. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. Today's conversation, we're diving into something that I think a lot of us wrestle with, what it actually looks like to die to ourselves in real everyday moments. Not just the idea of it, but the how. Because it's one thing to say, I want to follow Jesus, and it's another thing to walk that out when emotions are high, when reactions feel automatic, and when we're face to face with our own selfishness. Today, I'm sitting down with my friend Mia. She's in a really sweet but stretching season of life as a newlywed. And God has been showing her what it looks like to surrender, to fight against the lies we believe, and to rely on His strength instead of her own. Welcome, Mia. I'm so glad that you're here.
Me too. Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah. All right. So before we dive in, y'all know I love a good fun fact, and Mia loves cooking. She despises following a recipe, which, like, girl after my own heart. I love that so much. So I have to ask, what is your favorite food to cook? Are you more of like the sweet or the savory? What's your flavor?
That's a good question. I feel like a lot of people ask me that, and I'm always like, I really don't know. but probably putting together like a random bowl of like half junk food, half healthy food, and just combining it. Like one time I made this like tater tot casserole with like shrimp and pineapple, but worked. And
wow. Great. That sounds very interesting. I feel like it's something you would have to try to know with those. That's a lot of different flavors. Yeah. Yeah. Did it work out?
It worked out well. It was great. Yeah, it was so good. I was shocked.
That's amazing. I love it. Does your husband love your cooking? Is he a cooker? Does he cook?
He loves to eat. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He loves to help occasionally, but he's adventurous with food though. So we're a good pair.
That's perfect. I love that. And you know, the idea of wanting things our own way, whether it's foods or things in life, whatever, it's exactly what we're going to talk about today, which is just beautiful, that learning to surrender, trusting God instead of leaning onto ourselves. So I'd love for you to just take us into the season that you're navigating right now. When did you first start realizing that your reactions weren't as out of control as you thought?
Yeah. So I have been married for just about a year, a little bit over.
I love it.
And it's been such a sweet season, really full of learning. And I thought it would be more learning about each other, but it's honestly been a lot of learning about myself and learning what my reactions are to things and what my desires are that honestly I don't think were really on the forefront of my mind. Like I didn't really notice a lot of the expectations I set or the wants that I have. And so really right off the bat, I feel like I was face to face with like all these reactions that I thought I couldn't control. And it probably took until like 6 months in for me to realize I can control these reactions. But that was honestly a hard realization, because then it also meant that like I was then face to face with, well, what does that look like? And how can I control it when it's in the moment, when I'm not like thinking about it a couple hours later? And I think a combination of things have helped me learn what that looks like. One of which is just recognizing like my own selfishness and not only my selfishness, but also like, well, why is it so important that like I have my way in this? And I think that's been something that's more helpful to control rather than just my reactions to things, but like getting to the source of, you know, what is it that I'm like wanting and why do I want it? And then also like what do I want for my husband? And like, can that be stronger than my own want for myself, yeah. or even like, what do I want as a like daughter of Christ? What do I want to represent? Which is very convicting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
really it's been a very stretching season, and especially the past couple months have been just a whole lot of noticing what I do and my shortfalls in
yeah.
conversation, especially in just a stressful season or like a high intensity moment. Mm-hmm. I just turn to myself rather than looking outward or looking like up at the Lord and what he yeah. wants me to do.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of awareness is really, really eye-opening, and honestly, sometimes a little bit uncomfortable, because like you said, like, you
yes.
that's that conviction that comes to you, and you're like, yeah, actually, I just wanted you to work on him. Lord, I did not want that whole thing to be focused back on me. But it is such a great space to be in, especially as newlyweds, and you know, you are younger. These are such amazing, amazing awareness things to take into your life that will give you, it just gives you a better trajectory for everything. And so I'm so glad that you're here to talk about this. So what has it been like navigating that in your first year, that this uncomfortable tension that seems to be there?
Mm-hmm. I think it's been a lot of surprising like vulnerability. I think I would say I'm like a very vulnerable and like a naturally vulnerable person, but for someone to like live with me and to see me day to day and yeah. to be there in my hardest moments, not only like my maybe moments when I'm like the saddest, but also like the moments when I'm like the selfish, yeah. selfish-ish. That's the yeah. word. selfish-est. Yeah. Yes.
The most selfish. There we go.
There
we'll
it
get
is.
There.
Yep. Or the very like passionate about something that yeah. I can tone it down a notch.
yeah.
I think I've just been so surprised of the vulnerability, but that has really just stretched us and grown us in yeah. the most beautiful way. I feel like ultimately like learning to die to myself feels like having to learn how to like accept love. And I feel like marriage has been so helpful in me understanding my walk with Christ, because it's been so hard for me, for my husband to see me in these moments and for him to just still love me and for me to just say, okay. And then thinking of my relationship with God, where he's loved me from the very beginning and at my very, very worst. And I think when I don't want to be loved because I'm feeling ashamed or unworthy, I feel like there's a lot of like pride in that comes to mind of God, this is who I am. I'm like putting myself in the place of God to say whether or not he can love me, when that's not yeah. how it works. Like he does love me. And I think that when that like clicks in my head, that feels like a practical way of like how I can die to myself yeah. because I'm really like, I'm submitting to God, but I'm submitting to his love and his justice and just like being swallowed in his love so that yeah. No one can see me anymore. Like it's God, and I can't even like hear, like feel like my pride or my selfishness or just like who I am fleshly, because I want yeah. to be consumed by
yeah.
his love and all that he is.
Yeah. Oh, that is just so beautiful. And you're right. Marriage does have a way of holding up a mirror to us in ways that we don't expect, in ways that we were probably not prepared for. Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And just know that, you know, you'll continue. There will be plenty more seasons like this, but I love that you are beginning everything with this, and just the fact that you want to be so full of God's love that it just oozes out of you and pours out mm-hmm. into everything that you do. And It's a great starting place. Great, great, great. I love that. So, so I wonder, were there any specific moments where you felt that conviction of that mirror that really hit you?
I think I have one that comes to mind, and I can't honestly like remember the details of, you know, what happened. I'm sure I was just really tired and had a hard day maybe and wanted my way. But I think when that moment happened and I like reacted in a way that I didn't want to, and I, you know, believed the lie that I can't control my reactions, it was right after that that the first thought of, okay, I need to like die to myself in order to control my reactions, it really hit me that the word die is in that sentence.
Yeah.
And I guess I just, you know, I grew up a Christian, so I'm hearing that all the time, and in my communities, like, that is a phrase that feels like it's just thrown around.
Yeah.
And it's so important to sanctification. So it's good that it's,
yeah,
you know, talked about a lot. But also, I think I got like angry in the moment of like, why has no one ever like talked about how we're literally called to die? Like, that's so gruesome. And that's an act of killing the sinful desires in me.
Yeah.
And when that clicked in my head, that this was just a couple months ago, and that had like never clicked of like, this isn't some pretty thing that I'm gonna like have on my phone wallpaper with some flowers. Like, this is so like brutal.
Yes.
And it was honestly so encouraging because it made me realize that like, this is a fight and it's not gonna come naturally.
Yeah.
And that alone, I think I can be a big perfectionist with myself. So I assume that all good things should come naturally to me,
right,
which is not the reality.
Yeah.
So just to realize that like, it is not natural to put to death something that like we as humans have had since Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like equipped, because I'm aware that it's a fight, and I know, yeah, like I'm confident that God is on my side and he's given me his armor to win this battle. But if I think it's not a battle, I'm not going to win it.
Right.
So that was a huge, really like turnaround in my perspective, where I was able to know what that means and really be able to define it and put it into practice.
Yeah. I love that. That's, yeah, you're right. We hear that all the time, and we do. We we're like, yes, we just, you know, we'll die to self. But the practical application of that is like, what does that look like? What does that look like on a daily basis? How do we walk that out? So what is something that you found that helped you to do that die to self command that we've been given? What does that look like practically for you?
I think for me, I sometimes can't shut my mouth. I am such a talker when I'm like just in my zone, like in my comfortable space, like I just talk and talk. And I think I've learned that silence is such a good way for me to die to myself. Not only like having set times to be silent in my day and to be like in solitude, but also even more to know and be in tune with the Holy Spirit of like, okay, I need to be silent in this conversation, or like, I need to listen better, or I don't need to say everything that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And that sounds like so silly to say because it sounds obvious, but I think that when I like am intentionally silent, like I feel like worlds open in my conversations, where I'm able to, when I like silence my mouth, I feel like my head and heart also like quiet, where I'm actually able to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit, because they're not as loud as my own voice a lot of the times. And that's really like the main thing that comes to mind, because that's something that has truly like made a huge difference when I do practice that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great thing that all of us need to practice, is that, hey, sometimes we do just need to be quiet and we need to listen. And you're right, it does do something with the whole head, mind, body, soul. When we are quiet, when we quiet our mouth, it starts to begin to quiet our thoughts. And then it actually allows for us to hear what the Lord has to say to us, whether that is conviction or correction or, you know, whatever it is. It allows us also to move from a stance of responding and not just reacting.
Mm.
When we react, it is usually just like that first thing that comes out of our mouth. It's just, we haven't had time to think about it. We just react and this is what it is. And most often that's when we are caught in, oh, that was not what we wanted to say, or that wasn't needed, or whatever it is. But when we take that, just even a moment, especially in a heated conversation or in the, you know, in the moment or in the conversation, and we say, okay, and then we say something, then that when we're responding from a place of pause instead of reacting from place of aggravation. I think that's such a great point to pay attention and just take that moment. And it's because it's not a light or an easy thing to do. It really is where that transformation happens. And in the shift from paying attention to our words and our pausing can really move that from a place of going into shame, like, oh, I can't believe that I said that, to just an awareness, right? So we're switching lanes, which is so important for us to pay attention. So what did it look like for you in that moment to recognize those lies before your reaction takes over?
I think it definitely has to do with choosing to be silent, especially like in the moment that I want to react. I feel like what it looks like for me inside my head and heart isn't only that I start to calm down and see clearly and to think clearly, but also I feel like an intimacy with God in a way where I'm able to really just rely on Him for my strength. Because especially being like a talker, I feel like sometimes it can be like, it can drive me crazy to like not get something off my tongue.
Yeah.
So there's, I feel like I've noticed those times where I do stop and know that it's a lie, that I can't control my reactions and I can respond with grace. And it feels like such an intimate thing with God because He's the one that gives me the strength to be silent and to think closer to how He thinks and to think wisely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that pause, that's where growth happens, when we allow ourselves to take that moment. We're intentional, such an incredible word, when we're intentional with our thoughts and our reactions. It really is where growth happens. And you were telling me earlier that in 2 Corinthians, you've been really leaning on a verse in there. So how has that truth about God's strength in your weakness changed the way you see yourself?
When I read that verse a couple of months ago, that His grace is sufficient for us and His power is made perfect in our weakness, it really stuck out to me because even though I know that like we are all being sanctified, really since I even mentioned that verse to you, I've continued to learn a lot from it. And that's been a theme that really has stuck with me, I think, placed there by God, whether I want it or not.
Yeah.
I think I am learning that I am someone who likes to be strong and I like to come off as strong and I like to be able to hold things together. And in my head, I think, oh, if I unravel, then how can others see God in me? And what was so like transformative about like reading that verse and like meditating on it was that, like He said, His power, like His like divine quality will be even greater, made known even greater in my weakness. And I've always like loved that verse, but I think just in different seasons, like it's like expounded in my life in different ways. And that feels like how I'm able to see it now. When I unravel and when I fall apart, even if it's like broken pieces on the floor, those are like God being seen. Yes. I feel like in my head right now, I'm envisioning like a vase that has been like broken. And when the vase was whole, you couldn't see what was inside it. If it's, you know, water that spills out, like that being symbolic of God is spilling out, and I'm able to, in my brokenness or my weakness, show that to others.
Yeah.
And in regards to dying to yourself and really learning that, I think it would be a lot harder if I didn't have that verse to lean on as an encouragement to continue to press in and not try to you know, quote unquote, fix a struggle that I'm having, but instead recognizing that, like, if my end goal is to show Christ, then I can be bold in my weakness and I can let him have the power rather than trying to put myself together, because ultimately craft glue isn't gonna hold anything, like the purple glue stick that doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, there really is so much freedom in realizing that we don't have to be strong on our own, that we are actually stronger when we are with him. We are stronger when we allow that vulnerability, allow him to work in the weakest parts of us, because that's exactly what he wants for us. You also mentioned contentment and rest. And so what has God been teaching you in this busy season about trusting him enough to stop?
When Lent began, I really felt prompted to be intentional about resting on Sundays and practicing Sabbath, which I've done off and on, but I felt like this was a good opportunity to actually be intentional about it, because this has just been a crazy time for my husband and I. And so doing it together would be a great opportunity to just trust God with stopping all the things that we should be doing, and even like organizing our week in a way that allows us to just rejoice in God and rest in him. But to be so honest, like, I've not done great at this. Like, it's really been a struggle to commit that day, like the first few Sundays we did, and then it, you know, took a dog sitting job on a Sunday, and, you know, couldn't really like rest and spend time with God. I was more distracted in my head, and even in like me quote unquote failing with practicing a Sabbath every single Sunday, I feel like I've felt God's grace by giving me like moments of rest. And I feel like the Holy Spirit can often feel like quiet inside me, but the loudest moments that I've like heard him speak so clearly to me this past maybe 2 months really has been stop. I'll be like doing dishes and I just feel like a prompting, like, go sit and like don't say anything, don't read, like close your eyes. And those have been, maybe it's 3 minutes and that feels like an hour, and I feel like so like at peace. Or sometimes I'll just start like crying, and it just it reminds me that like I have not just sat with my Savior and been filled by him. So I've been in, not only in like him prompting me to have those moments, but also because I like see the fruitfulness of it, I've been trying to even you know, maybe setting a timer and sitting just throughout a busy day, and really just recentering myself on him.
And I love that, because it is hard. It is hard to pause and to take that when we have all of these things to do, and we think in our earthly human minds, there's no way that I'll be able to get it all done, so how could I ever just sit down? But he multiplies our time. Even you just said that, with, even though it's 3 minutes, it feels like an hour. He multiplies our time when we spend time with him. I like to think of Sabbath as not just a specific day that I take to rest with him, but as a heart posture, so that it doesn't seem so, because I don't believe that the Lord told us about Sabbath to give us a rule or a lecture about like, it has to be on this day and it has to look like this. And because that's just not, I just don't believe that's how my God works. I really, really believe that it has to do with the heart posture. And I think that when listening, when he says stop, pausing, taking those moments, I just think that those are such intentional times where we posture our heart to the Lord. We position ourselves for his blessing, for his word, whatever it may be. And then we just are silent in that, and not striving, not trying to be someone we're not. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing when we actually do that. And so I love that you mentioned that, to begin fighting differently. That is something that it's tricky when you're in the middle of newlywedness. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, when you are dating, it's different, and you're like figuring each other out, and then you're engaged, and now you're concerned about the wedding and all of those plans, and now you're married and nobody else is looking after you. Nobody's telling you what the rules are. Now you're just having to figure it out. And that can include a lot of fighting. So for someone listening who feels stuck in the same cycle of reacting and then feeling shame, what's one small step that they can take to begin fighting differently?
The first thing that came to mind was, in those moments for me, like, I feel so alone. Like, I'm fighting alone because no one else is dealing with this, which is, even though I know that's not true in the moment, it feels very true. So I would say I want to encourage other women who may feel this way that they're not alone and that community is so important, even in something that's, you know, maybe others or not a lot of people see, like telling people like, hey, here's what I'm struggling with, I think is so impactful. And then I would say in the moment to fight differently. Honestly, there's so many different things that would be very practical and very helpful that come to mind, but they're things that I most of the time forget to do in the moment. And like, if there are women who struggle with things like being reactionary or struggling with selfishness in marriage, I think a lot of those moments, at least for me, can be moments when of like high anxiety, like when I'm feeling very anxious. So it's hard to maybe think clearly.
Yeah.
So I would say for me, something that's I want to do and I've been trying to do is to have that thought of like, I want to think clearly and I want to think like Jesus. Like, I want to think in a way that is broader and bigger than just myself. And I think that seems easier to me than like, okay, how can I think, put my perspective in like my husband's shoes, for example, or how can I let my bad day not overshadow everything else, but instead just having the thought of like, I want to have a different perspective right now. And I think being just aware of that, like if that's the only thought that comes to mind, like that makes a huge difference, because then it's acknowledging, okay, Holy Spirit, like I am weak, but here's like, I want to change. Here's what I want.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I want to think clearly, have a different perspective, be selfless, whatever it is. Like, I think just naming that thought is so much easier than like, how do I be selfless right now? Like letting God do that work, rather than putting things into my own hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree, because you're right. When you have that awareness, you have, then it moves to that acknowledgement of, okay, I do need to do something different. And then hopefully it moves into an action of actually doing something different. And so it works all together. And I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for this conversation and your honesty and your vulnerability and just being so encouraging to us in this time, because we all go through seasons where we need to learn to fight differently, and we need to learn to shut our mouths sometimes and refocus it back on the Lord. So thank you for so much for being open and sharing what God is walking you through. So before we wrap up, I want to ask you a question we ask every guest, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
I would say, just put very simply, like, choose to fight, to die to yourself, and to know that God is fighting that battle with you. And I think having the image, like the perspective of, you know, putting your armor on even as you wake up, like in those moments, hours later, where you might be faced with a choice to be reactionary or to be selfish or to not, maybe you woke up and you put on that armor, and whether it's scripture memorization or just reading your Bible or prayer, silence, like having that time that equips you, like that is a tool in our fight, in our battle to learn how to die to ourselves.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love it.
Thank you.
Yes. Friend, if you're listening today and you feel stuck in that cycle, reacting, feeling frustrated, wondering why it's so hard to change, you're not alone. This is not something that comes naturally. It's something that we walk through with God, one moment at a time. And in your weakness, His strength really is enough. If sharing your story has been on your heart, even just a little, I want to open that door for you. I would love to have you as a guest and walk through your perspective side by side. You can connect with me at perspectivesintopractice.com. I would love to hear from you. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.